Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. And back at Studio A this morning with my guest, as I mentioned, from the Aztec School District. He is back to join me in the new year. Superintendent Kevin Summers has come back to KSJE. Good morning, sir. Good to have you here.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming back in. And a lot of things going on, I think, since we last spoke. And I want to talk about a couple of things. One is, of course, your great forecasting efforts for snow days and things like that. I mean, you guys had it right last time.
We just got lucky is what happened. We
right?
got very, very lucky. You know, we've got a really diligent transportation director. His name's John Laws. He's typically out on the roads by 3 o'clock. He and I talk on the phone several times in the morning, and we try to make a decision by 5:30, but the last time, 5:30, was gorgeous.
Right, I was going to say, what does that mean when at 3 a.m. it's clear and dry out there? So it's hard to predict maybe what's going to happen.
But it really is. And so we tend to make our call about 5:30, just so everybody's got a sufficient heads up
right
when they're getting ready in the morning. And This storm was different. It really didn't start until about 5:30. And so about 5:45, John calls and he says, you know what? I think we need to wait. Just give me 15 more minutes. And then 15 more minutes was actually all we needed. And had we put buses on the road, it would have got real dicey real quick, I think. So
right.
We just got lucky. But
yeah,
John Laws is to be grateful to
right
in that sense.
So, all those transportation folks at all the school districts,
absolutely.
I think. But I just wanted to ask you about it because I know it's, you know, who could predict the weather? Even the folks on TV can't predict it, you know,
right,
correctly 100% of the time. And so you guys make the best calls that you can. And I know safety is always really, really important. And some of your bus routes, I mean, you go all the way to the Colorado state line,
correct,
with your school buses to pick up kids. And so that conditions may be very different from what you find in downtown Aztec.
Correct. Yeah. So the geographic boundaries of our district are from Flora Vista to the state line,
and then out to Navajo Dam. Yeah.
Exactly. So the state line, Navajo Dam, we always kind of drive those routes just to make sure, because it's very important. Safety is very, very important. And while buses are heavy, you get the right conditions and slide a bus off the road or slide a bus into another vehicle. When that can be avoided, why don't you avoid it?
Right.
We just got lucky this last time, but we do try to use the best information as possible. We were speaking before the show, there's not really a radar in this area. So we kind of rely on forecasts of the Durango Weather Guy, AccuWeather, NOAA. But at the end of the day, they're just guesses.
Right.
We call them weather guessers. So we go out in real time and we make those decisions in real time. And we don't always get it right. We ask people to give us their grace when we don't get them right. But when we do get them right, it feels pretty good.
Right. Well, and again, there's a lot of other decisions that need to be made, too. I mean, if you had sent buses out and then had to close schools, I mean, that is not a good situation if parents have gone to work or whatever,
exactly,
and you can't send kids home to an empty house if parents don't know. And there's just a lot of other decision-making processes that cascade from the first one.
100%.
So.
When you get kids there, we want to keep them there for that exact reason, right? We think about the five-year-old kindergartner that mom and dad are both at work. What do you do with them? You can't just drop them off at the bus stop and say, good luck, bud.
Yeah, right.
So being at school is the safest option. But if it's not safe to transport kids to school, we also take the philosophy that if it's not safe to transport kids, it's not safe for adults to transport either. So that's one of the reasons why we call our 2-hour delay, and usually, at least the three times we've done it this year,
already,
we had to shift into a virtual learning day.
Right. And those shifts, just briefly, and then we'll go on to something else, those virtual learning days, again, help kids, I guess, stay engaged and maybe help teachers maybe keep kids on track for the lessons that they're working on instead of getting that immediate break or whatever?
Right, right. So if you'll remember, last legislative session, House Bill 130 was passed. House Bill 130 essentially changed the learning instructional time requirement. It used to be 990 hours annually for elementary kids and 1,080 for secondary kids. House Bill 130 changed that to 1,140 for all. And so for us at the Aztec School District, that meant we didn't have to change our calendar, but it kind of ate away our snow days. So for us to preserve that instructional time and not require students and teachers to come back after Memorial Day, for instance, or to eat into another holiday like spring break or Good Friday, something of that sort, we just made the decision, hey, we can preserve this instructional time virtually. As a district, we made some standardized procedures of what those instructional days will look like, because we recognize that they're different. They should be different. Mm-hmm. But also, kids are kids, and we want our kids to have the opportunity to go play in the snow in between calls and to have a couple of hours before calls start. And I think so far it's been pretty successful, and the way I gauge that is with my own children. You know, I get to see my third grader.
Your built-in focus group.
Exactly, my right. built-in focus group. I get to see what third grade classes look like. I get to look at sixth grade classes. And it's been pretty successful so far, so we're thankful for that.
That's good. And again, you mentioned the other things if you didn't do that, which would be to impact the school year, the length of the school year, or eating away at spring break, or some other things that you'd have to do to make up that mandate from the state.
Correct.
Of 1,180 hours. Is that what it is?
1,140.
Sorry, yeah. I just added 40 more. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I don't want anyone to get any ideas.
No, but I think our community has been very vocal about the sacredness of family time in the summer. We're obviously an outdoor recreational hub. We've got Connie Mack. We've got sports teams and club sports across the board. And our community has been very vocal about that. We don't want to come back to school after Memorial Day. So in an effort to prevent that, that's why we've shifted to those virtual learning days.
Right. That's the hard stop.
That's the hard stop.
On the calendar for now.
Correct.
So there you go. You brought up some legislation, so let's talk about that. The 30-day session in Santa Fe begins at high noon today, as
Correct.
A matter of
yeah.
fact. And so there are a few pieces of legislation that you are watching. I guess one might be about that school schedule and how many days of instruction or hours of instruction there are.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see that come up. Obviously, I'm not a legislator, but what we've seen in the last about 60 days or so has shown us that legislators are probably going to be talking about instructional time again. So just as a recap, House Bill 130 last year is the instructional hours that we talked about. And legislature was very clear, it's hours, not days.
Mm-hmm. However, figure it out, whatever works, I guess, for your district.
For
is that the
if
idea?
It's 5-day week, 4-day week, what have you. Now, with that being said, there was also language in House Bill 2, which is the appropriations bill, right, that says something along the lines of school budgets won't be approved if there's less days than the previous school year. So that's typically in there. Sometimes it gets vetoed, line item vetoed, sometimes it doesn't. But for the most part, our legislature said it's ours, figure it out, whatever works for you and the 89 districts across the state. In December, though, the Public Education Department proposed a rule, which we call them rules, but I guess the official name is regulation, right? It's in New Mexico Administrative Code. They proposed a rule that not only was hours, but a minimum number of days. And to that point, it was effectively ruling out 4-day school weeks. While Aztec isn't on a 4-day school week, I think we'd love to be on a 4-day school week. It would certainly match the county and the city. That's just not something that we're able to do at the moment. But it impacts a lot of those rural school districts, the micro school districts. So I use Mosquero as an example. Mosquero is in kind of the northeast quadrant of our state. They're 2 hours from any place.
Okay.
And so having those 4-day weeks is really necessary for them to be able to recruit teaching staff and for really attendance purposes, right? So when you have basketball games on Fridays, kids aren't missing school because of basketball games where they're having to travel 2 hours at minimum to
get somewhere else to play.
And likely much longer, right?
When
you're going to go play like-sized school districts. But also that's the time when employees and students and parents, they go to the dentist and they go to the doctor and they take care of those things when they don't necessarily have to be in school. So I think a rule to eliminate that is just unconscionable. So We went to Santa Fe in December as part of an advocacy team, and the entire Superintendents Association was represented. There was pages and pages and pages and pages of comment against it. There was hours and hours and hours of comment against it. And today is actually the PED's deadline to say whether they're going to make that rule or not. But I think through the course of all of that, ultimately, we've seen some legislators kind of be slighted, saying, hey, hold on, that's not what we said. We said hours, not days. Don't put days in here.
And so slighted towards the public education department.
Correct.
Not the superintendents or the school district, right?
Not, sure. Not the superintendents.
But they're saying this is not the intention of the original legislation, I guess.
Exactly. Bingo. Thank you for the clarification.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a resurgence of that.
Gotcha.
In legislature. Another thing that I think we're going to see in legislature with regard to education, I think we're going to see graduation requirements come back. Representative Lane was a co-sponsor on that bill last year.
Aztec's Ryan Lane, yes.
Yes, right? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it had tremendous support. It went through both sides of the House, or both chambers. It went through multiple committees, and I think it had a total of 3 nay votes in all of that, only to ultimately be vetoed by the governor. That being said, the governor's kind of made it her priority to want to graduate more students,
right,
and have more work-based learning opportunities for students. And I think you can't have one without the other. So I'm hoping we'll see a resurgence of House Bill 126 graduation requirements.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Very good. And I won't say anything about Algebra 2 today. I promise.
Okay. You sure?
I'm probably.
You can promise. If you want to.
Okay. Not every kid needs Algebra 2.
Okay. There
those
you go.
Kids that need it's it not and a want show it, we unless, will offer it.
It's not a show unless you talk about it, Mr. Summers. But there you go. Understood. And then you and I were talking, too, before we came on the air a little bit about class sizes. And I've seen some comments about, New Mexico's going to have a lot more money again this year, thanks to revenue coming into the state. A lot of it comes from the oil and gas industry, and so that's no secret. But folks are saying, what's the state going to do with all this extra revenue that's kind of here now but may not be here in the future? What time that in the future that is, who knows? But a lot of folks are saying maybe, the state has dealt with maybe teacher salaries in the past and other benefits and things like that. What about class sizes? Is that a place to maybe spend more money? So allow districts to maybe make smaller class sizes, allowing you to, I guess, hire more teachers to have more smaller classes. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I think it's really hard for anyone to be in opposition to it.
Right. Right.
I think the only thing that limits
it has a price tag to it.
It has a price tag to it, sure. 100%. And the only thing that truly limits it, other than the money and the people,
I suppose,
are the space, right?
Yeah.
So there are some districts that maybe they're just filled to the brim, and they can't actually do that. But there's already some laws in place that dictate class sizes, specifically for our elementary classes, but also for secondary. It's a little more ambiguous when it comes to secondary schools. But I think it's a great idea. And I think when you look at some of those micro districts in our state, the Mosqueros, the Roys, the Lake Arthurs, they only have, up to 100 students in their schools, but one of the things that they do have is really small class sizes, and that one-on-one interaction and that one-on-one instruction that they're getting from their teachers, I think, is pivotal to their success. So when you see 60, 70, 80% proficiency rates in those classes, the kind of the lone factor there is class size. So why not look at that for all districts around the state? I think it's a great idea. Like I said earlier, it's not necessarily an idea that the Superintendents Association had in our legislative platform, but we start drafting that almost a year in advance, right?
Right. Sure.
But I don't think anyone would necessarily be in opposition to it.
So we may see legislation about it?
I hope so.
In the 30 days, but again, this is a 30-day session, so it really relies on the governor to bring stuff to the legislature.
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, with a 30-day session, bills can be introduced in one of 3 ways. They have to be tied to budget.
Right.
That's short session. They have to be introduced by the governor. And I believe, and this is something that, don't quote me on it, but I got to check it, but I believe that bills that were vetoed in the last session automatically become germane as well.
Okay.
So
that would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But in politics, not everything that makes sense is correct, but we'll see what happens.
Logic has no place here sometimes.
You never know, yeah. But we'll see what happens. But we'll know in 30 days because that's right. The length of the session, and their primary goal is to adopt a budget, and that's what they'll be focused on, I know. But there's a lot of other things that relate to it as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I find to be curious, you're right, we do have this historical windfall in terms of revenue, but I found it very curious that the executive budget – the Finance Committee budget and the LESC, the Legislative Education Study Committee budget, very closely aligned.
Oh.
Just off by, it sounds silly to say, just off by a few million.
Yeah, right.
But when we're talking billions, a few million is really kind of a drop in
right.
the bucket.
So. Well, that's encouraging, perhaps, yeah. if everyone's on the same page. That would be good. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Summers, was last November, there was a vote, and the mill levy that had been put up in Aztec lost by voters of the Aztec School District by, what, four votes.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yes, a little bit, a little yeah. bit.
So what is the district has certainly had conversations about what to do, and so what's the plan? Because that would have been money for the district that could use for the next 5 years?
5 years, correct.
Right?
Yeah, so I think a couple things to talk about. First, we actually went to voters for a reauthorization of a current mill levy.
Right, nothing, which is, wasn't a new
correct,
levy.
Correct, not a new levy, but it kind of looks like it. When you're looking at the ballot, it looks like another tax here, right? And it's a 1.88 mill levy. It's currently in place through 2024. So we're not in dire straits necessarily just yet. But what is that mill levy, I think, is what's important to talk about.
Sure.
Right? That mill levy is a very specific set of funds that actually equates to about $1.1 million annually for the district. And it's used almost exclusively for maintenance and custodial purposes. So when we think about like our custodial supplies budget, 100% of that budget is from the mill levy. When we think about some of those force majeure incidents that happen in school districts, you know, you need to replace a leaking roof or plumbing breaks or an HVAC unit goes out, those mill levy funds are used for that. So really when we talk about mill levy, what we're talking about is the quality of our buildings. And in Aztec, I think the average is 42 years. 42 years old is the average age of our buildings. Some are older and some are newer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the average age is 42. So that money becomes very crucial for us to make sure that we maintain a safe and comfortable environment for our kiddos.
And I guess I would just interrupt, as I am doing this morning, pardon me, to say anyone that maybe owns an older home or lives or rents in an older home probably knows the amount of maintenance it requires to maintain those older buildings as opposed to maybe some newer construction. And if you've got buildings that are an average of 40 some odd years old, that means your maintenance budget is probably going to be higher than other districts that have maybe newer buildings.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And then you also pair to that, you know, when you've got older buildings, let's use your example. When you have an older home,
mm-hmm.
That home was built to code at the time that it was built. But from that time on, you don't worry about the codes, right? You just worry about when it was built and make sure that the roof's not leaking. But when we're talking about schools, we actually have adequacy standards that we have to adhere to. So the Public Schools Facilities Authority, Public Schools Facility Authority, they come in annually and they do inspections on our schools and they'll let us know, hey, you're out of compliance with the American with Disabilities Act, or hey, you're out of compliance with this adequacy standard, which is, you know, maybe temperature in the classrooms. So there's a lot of odds and ends that kind of go along with it. Now, that was a long, rambly way to get to your answer, which was, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
In the January board meeting, the Aztec Schools Board of Education, they actually approved a resolution to go out to a special election. So that special election will take place March 19th. But that's a little bit of a misnomer, because since it's a special election, it's going to be a mail election. March 19th is the deadline for those ballots to be received. So everybody will be receiving ballots in the mail with one question, and that question is about the reauthorization of the mill levy. Obviously, we've got some work to do between now and the time that those ballots go out in terms of information and sharing what those funds are used for and why we desperately need them. But March 19th is kind of the drop-dead date. So they have to be received by the county's clerk's office by March 19th. If you didn't get it in the mail in time, you can always drop it off in person at the county clerk's office. But March 19th is the date that we're looking at.
And these ballots will start going out about what time?
You know, I'm not entirely sure with that. The county clerk's office actually handles the mailing process. I'm going to suspect probably early March or late February. But
so folks will have time to fill them out and get them back in before the deadline, I guess, is my point. But
absolutely,
they should have plenty of time to do that. And that's the idea. And so, again, a lot of folks, well, not a lot, but I wanted to ask you, too, this vote lost by 4 votes in November. Mm-hmm. And so the district feels that it was close enough to authorize this special election because these funds are so important to the district.
Absolutely. They're crucial to the district. You know, we all want, as parents and as community members, we all want nice facilities for our students to go to school in. And so these funds are crucial for that. And I think some people might say, well, I don't have any kids in the schools. And I think that that's a fair answer. But when they were in school, or when their children were in school, somebody was paying ad valorem taxes for that, right? And I think the idea behind a 1.88 mil levy is very simple. We're not trying to be greedy. We're just trying to say, this is how much it takes for us to be able to maintain these schools properly. And a 1.88 mil levy, you know, if we talk about it from, well, if it doesn't get passed, how much in terms of taxes is the average homeowner getting back? It's really not much. It's a couple of meals out with the family. And so really, we're trying to be very cognizant of the fact that, yeah, everything does cost more. Gasoline is more expensive. Inflation has cost more at the grocery store as well. We're not asking for more. We're just saying the 1.88 is sufficient. We can make it happen with this. Please, voters, help us reauthorize that.
Right. Understood. And I guess, not to play devil's advocate, but I guess I will, if it gets voted down again, and you obviously still have to maintain those buildings, so mm-hmm. I guess the money has to come from the general fund or just the regular school budget. Would that be what you'd be forced to do?
You're exactly right. So we can't just say, well, we don't have mill funds, so just let the roof.
There's a hole in the roof.
We can't do that.
Right.
But what we'll have to do is we'll have to what's the term? We'll have to steal from Peter to pay Paul. And so ultimately, what does that do? That impacts the materials that students have available to them. It impacts just a number of different programs across our district. We would try not to wholly impact one program, but you know, try to take little pieces from lots of different things in order to make that happen. But yeah, that's ultimately what we'd have to do is dip into the operational fund, which we typically have available to pay the bills, right? The operational fund is literally utilities and all of the instructional materials necessary. So we would have to dip into that and some other programs across the district, and it's not something that we want to do. We don't want to impact what happens in the classroom in order to maintain the classroom itself.
Right, of course. And I did want to ask you a bit, too. You mentioned maybe some voters saying, well, I don't have kids in schools anymore, so why should I vote to continue this mill levy for the schools? And I guess my other point would be that these are public buildings, and so even if you don't have a student at Aztec Schools, maybe you go to an Aztec school to enjoy a play, a concert, a football game, a baseball game. Those types of things. I mean, these schools are open to the public, the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have community organizations use our facilities all the time. The one that's currently on the top of my head is Aztec Youth Wrestling. You know, they use our wrestling facilities for practice. They use our gyms for big tournaments. So those facilities are a reflection of the community, right? And so I think as a community, we ought to say, well, we want what's best for our kids, but it's not just for our kids, it's also for us. I think that's a great point, Scott.
Right. And I guess maintained facilities like this, you know, when people see schools that are well-maintained and up-to-date and looking safe and painted and carpet replaced and things along that line, I've heard it said before that it reflects back on the community as well. Doesn't it have a place, I think, for economic development and maybe attracting new businesses if the community supports the schools? I would assume that a business owner might say, well, maybe I'll expand my business or move my business to this community because, you know, the schools are pretty good academically and also physically. They're in good shape.
Absolutely. I think we've seen that with a number of industry across our state, and we'll look no further than Facebook, right? When Facebook created their big, I don't even know what you call it, their big facility.
Their data center or whatever it is, right? Yeah, right.
They went to a place where the schools were good and the economic prosperity was good. They were looking at the community itself. Would our employees who live and work in this community, would they feel safe? Would they want to move here? And so that's how they do some of those selections. So when we talk about economic development, I think schools are always high on the list because employees don't want to put their kiddos in poor maintained or poor performing schools.
Right. Very true. So we'll hear more about this, I'm sure, as we get closer to March for the special election for Aztec schools. This is something that the district has to pay for, I guess, right?
That's correct.
And so that's not cheap either, but it's certainly, I guess, if you're looking at the cost return on investment here, what's it going to cost the district about?
Yeah, so to run a special election through the county clerk's office, it'll cost us about $50,000 to make it happen. But again, return on investment, right? So this is $1.1 million annually for 5 years. It certainly makes sense to us to spend a little bit of money to make sure that we have those properly maintained facilities.
Right. And I guess the fact, too, that the original vote was so close, you feel that certainly maybe if more folks knew the importance of their vote, which I think we can't say enough, your vote every time you're asked to vote is very important, everybody,
right.
Is the reason maybe why the board voted to do this and spend this $50,000, because the vote was so close as well in November.
That's exactly right. Another reason we had to go to special election is because there was a law changed a few years ago that doesn't allow you to ask those questions in even number years. In the general election.
In a regular election,
even
right.
Even number of years, yeah. So we have to do a special election. But again, we lost by 4 votes. 4 votes is really nothing. Had we been whipped in that particular election, then maybe we wouldn't necessarily be going out to special election. But I think 4 votes probably tells us as a district we didn't do a good job of explaining what it is, how those funds are used, what it's not, how it impacts the taxpayer. So that's something that the general public can look forward to in the next couple of weeks, is us really hitting the road and talking about what this is and what this isn't and why it's so crucial to the operation of the district.
Very good. Well, you've done that this morning, so appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Summers, we're out of time, I'm sorry to say.
How does that happen so fast?
It happens all the time. We talk about all kinds of different things, and the clock just flies by. But hopefully you'll be back next month.
And, I will.
We can talk more about what the legislature did or didn't do, maybe, and what else is going on in Aztec schools.
That sounds great.
All right.
Thank
you, sir.
Looking forward to it. Thank
you.
Good
to see you. My guest this morning, Superintendent Kevin Summers from the Aztec School District, here with me on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.